want to give you a welcome CD. So please don't leave without getting a free CD that we want to give to you if you're new here this morning. We just want to bless you with that. But first, before we get into Jonah, I'm going to go through a few announcements. Then I'll dismiss the kids. But let's look at a couple of announcements here. There's a number of ministries we have going on here at the church. We don't have a whole bunch of different kind of things we do, but we do have Refuge on Campus on Wednesday nights. All summer long, we had a group of college-age folks who were meeting at the Utah Valley University, and now that's transitioned into Wednesdays. So we have a college group that meets on the campus on Wednesday evenings. You can contact Daniel Moore or talk to me so I can get you hooked up if you're interested in that or if you know somebody who might be. That happens on Wednesday nights. And the next announcement would be Rock Recovery. That's another ministry that we offer up here at the church on Sundays. Every Sunday at 1 o'clock, there's a group of folks that are doing basically a Bible study. So they go through the recovery Bible. And if you know someone who struggles with alcohol or addictions, they'd be welcome to join this group every Sunday at 1 o'clock. Just some people that love Jesus that are trying to walk away from addictions. And God's doing miracles there. So it's a good ministry. And we all, as a church, you know, we need to be praying for those folks. That's a tough road to hoe. So be praying for the Rock Recovery. And we have baptisms the third Sunday of the month, every Sunday, and the third Friday of the month, right here in our baptismal font. So, and that's a glory to God every time that happens. If you're at a place where you're not sure if you should be baptized or not, or maybe you were sprinkled as a baby and you're trying to figure out what that all means, well, come and talk to me, and we'll figure that out together. You can visit our Connections booth. There's a booth right as you came in the door. And if you have any questions, please don't go away without getting your questions answered. Talk to somebody at that Connections booth. That's just that little bar right when you came in the door on the right-hand side. We'll have someone posted there that can talk to you about baptism or any other question. Groups, life groups is an important part of our church here. Not only do we have the life group and the college group and our youth group, but we have groups that meet in the home. Mostly on Tuesday nights. These are just life groups is what we call them. They're basically small groups and little pieces or little parts, little breakdowns of our two churches, of our Friday night and Sunday morning service. It's really where we build community, where we get to know each other at a more intimate level. And I really highly recommend it. If you want to be part of this church, we want you to be part of one of these community groups so that you can know people and you can have relationships with others who can help you with your walk with the Lord. So that's what our life group's in. Again, you can find out about that at the Connections or just come and talk to me and I'll steer you in the right directions. We don't pass a hat here. There is a little tithe and offering box. It looks like a little mailbox. It just sits by the black doors there, and that's where we are privileged to give back to the Lord. And with that, kids are dismissed. So any kids that are here that might want to go to get school, now's the time that you go back to that. And God's blessed us with kids. And the teachers work hard to prepare lessons for them. So while they're making their way back to classes, why don't we pray and ask God to help us out here. So let's just pray. Lord God, we just thank you. I want to just thank you for these children that are here, Lord. It just always blesses my heart to hear young voices, God. Young children that, Lord, potential of them knowing you and living for you for all their lives is just so evident. So, Lord, I just pray you be with the teachers today. Help them to speak your words, Father God, and be with the kids that they would pay attention and hear what you have for them. And Lord, as your children, as your kids, we here in this room we want to hear from you, Lord. We really do. I just pray against any distractions that might take us away, even in our thoughts, God. We can be so easily distracted, and we want to hear from you today, God. I do, Lord. I want to hear what you have to say through this book of Jonah, Lord God. And I just pray that in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. So, again, we're starting out. This is going to be just a four-part series. It'll be kind of a short series, and we're just going to take the four chapters of Jonah and go through them. So, if you have your Bibles, you're certainly welcome to follow along in your Bible. I'll have most of the verses on PowerPoint here, and there is a handout for those of you who like to fill in the blanks. You can sure do that too. That is always kind of fun to do too. So we work hard to give you those types of things. What I'm going to do first off here is just talk a little bit, introduce the book of Jonah, certainly in the Old Testament, in God's Word, book of Jonah. You know, and Jonah actually wrote it. Not everybody knows that. Jonah actually wrote this account of what transpired in this book. He's the author, kind of writes it as a third party. And the story is not so much about Jonah as it is about the character of God. As we study and see the episodes and the things, the crazy things that happen in Jonah's life, really point to the character of our God, his mercy and his grace and his sovereignty over our lives. That's really what this book points to. And, you know, it's actually a historical account. And some scholars have a difficult time with that because of the supernatural part of Jonah. Can he really be in a fish? Come on. Could a man really live in a fish? You know, people take shots at it. But I believe it's a historical account, and it actually happened. And one of the good proofs that I like is that Jesus actually refers to Jonah. He actually refers to Jonah. Years later, Jesus refers to this book. And right here, we can see that. In Matthew, we can actually read where Jesus was faced, and some people were challenging Jesus to show us some miracles, show us something, wow us. Really, 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 show, if you're really God, if you're really who you say you are, show us something. We want to see a miracle. And this was his response. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here." Words of Jesus. I think that's a good proof. So what I'm going to do here, I didn't actually put all the scripture in one chunk. So what I'm going to do is, we're going to be hearers of the word for a minute here, or if you have your Bible, please follow along. I'm going to actually read out of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. And there's a number of different ways some of us learn auditorily and listen to the word, and some of us, and we read and study it out. I thought it'd be good just to read the word with you this morning, and then we'll break it up and we'll just walk through and we'll highlight different sections of these simple 17 verses. So listen, here we are, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish.' Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, 'Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' He answered, 'I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? And Jonah replied, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. What a fantastic story, huh? And we're just getting started. Chapter 1. Chapter 1. It's like, oh, man, I just want to read on. I just want to, oh, man, this is getting good. And we can look at this. We need to remember that Jonah was a prophet. So all his life, God had been, well, at least part of his life, God had been giving him messages. And he was considered a prophet. And he would teach others. He would go to others and say, thus saith the Lord. And he'd pass on messages directly from the God, from God. That's where we find Jonah. I always get Noah and Jonah mixed up. I don't know why, but anyway. So what I want to do is just look at four lessons from the book of Jonah. And honestly, there's many, many, many more. I just went through, and these are the ones I believe God kind of brought to light for me. So we're just going to look at four lessons, four things we can learn by looking at the life of Jonah. Remember, we look at the life of Jonah, and it points to God. It points to Christ. As we look at it closer and closer, examine, it points to God. And so the lessons we can learn from God through Jonah's life are before us here in God's Word. And lesson one is we ought to be men and women who obey God. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. God gives us his Word. We ought to listen to him because he's a good father and do what he says. Let's just read Jonah 1:1-3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. You know, if we really think about it, at least for me personally, I think all of us have a bit of Jonah in us. That's the way we're wired. I think that's the nature of man. The somebody tells you to do something and or not do something, let's say, and we want to do it, don't we? Don't look at the sun because it might hurt your eyes. And what are we doing? Trying to look at it. Don't stare at the sun. Or me, if I don't know about you, when I'm hiking and I find a sign that says "Do not enter," it's like they don't really mean that, kids. Look at that hill up there. We should hike up there. Don't tell me you've never done that, guys. I know you have. It goes. What they don't really mean "Do not enter." Come on. Look, it's wide open. Nobody's even here. You know. Well, yeah, they do mean it. And even as if we look at the Ten Commandments, what God gives us. God loves us, so he gave us the Ten Commandments. And honestly, we can look at those Ten Commandments, and if we're honest with ourselves, we go, I'm probably guilty. I'm guilty of this, guilty of that, guilty of that. The Bible actually says in our minds, if we think lustfully after a woman, it's the same as committing adultery with her. Oh, do not lie. Well, it's just a little white lie. Well, it's a lie. And on and on and on. You know, we could go down that road and all of us be walking out of here going, oh, man, I'm guilty. Well, because we are. We are. That's the tragic part. But, so, God, the sovereign God, our holy God, says to Jonah, go to this wicked city and tell them to repent. And he turns and he runs. As of the known world, he grabs a ship and sails to the furthest spot he can go in the opposite direction. And, you know, I think we do that all the time. We can learn from Jonah. No, wait a minute. Let's learn from Jonah's mistake. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. I like point A here. It says, I like this verse in the Psalms. Point A is just to put his precepts into action. Rather than running away from God, even in our mind, because honestly, guys, I think that's where we get caught up, is we run away from God in our minds. I'm not going to listen, not going to listen, not going to listen. I'll just do what I want. I always have, always will. Why would I change? We do that. We need to be men and women, put God's precepts into action. I like this Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. We need to be men and women that quit running away from God. I need to be a man that quits running away from God, even in my mind. Why? Because he loves me, and he's a good father, and he knows what's best for me. Pretty elementary, huh? But it's true. It's true. Really chew on that a little bit. Because he knows what's best for me. And he's good. God is good. God is good. He comes through on his promises. He knows what's best to me. Why would I listen to the world? Why do we listen to all that garbage? Why do we? I don't know. We're just distracted. But you and I need to be men and women that listen to God. We put his precepts into actions. Not only just listen and got all this head knowledge. Okay, yeah, do this, do that. Oh, I'm going to go over here and not do this, do that, do that, do this. But to actually put our faith into action, to actually follow God's word, to obey his precepts. It's all in here. It's in God's word. He promises. He'll lead us. He'll direct us. He'll protect us. And we step outside of that. Why? Oh, God, we need your help. Just like Caleb was talking earlier, we just need God's help. Because he's a good father. We just need to be children that come into line and follow him and listen to him. Okay, Dad. Okay. Okay, Father. Okay, God. Okay. All right. Yes, 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 Father. That's a good idea. I'll do that. Okay, okay. Rather than running the other way. And another good point, another good lesson I think we can learn from chapter 1 and Jonah for sure, is praying to God. Pray to God. Do you have a vibrant, lively relationship with God where you talk to him? You pray to him. You know, it's great to study the word, and God speaks to us through his word. We need to be men and women that pray. You know, and we could preach on this every week. It's right where Satan wants to get in there. You don't really need to pray. You don't really need to humble yourself. That's a lie. Yes, we do. Let's look. There's a couple different things that happen that transpire in the book of Jonah that address prayer. And I think we ought to pay attention to it. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Then the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish. We need to be men and women who pray to God. Now, I think we don't want to miss this first part here. Then the Lord sent a great wind. Okay? God sent the storm. He started in motion. Okay? What happens oftentimes when we're being our little Jonah self, we think, Well, I can run away and hide. I can stick my fingers in my ears. La 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 la. No, God is sovereign. He's holy. We cannot hide from this God. He created the universe. Have you looked up at the stars recently? He spoke that into place. We can't run away. We can't hide. We think we're doing secret things. That's a lie. Nobody's doing secret things. Nobody's getting away with anything. You know? And this relationship with God, it ought to be me talking to him, him talking to me, me talking to and growing and thriving in prayer. But in our pride, we don't do that. We see here in the story that even the pagans on this ship, they didn't know what to do. They're up against the wall. And finally, they're like, wow, I'm going to pray to this wooden statue that I had. What else are you going to do when the whole world's just falling apart? There must be something to this prayer thing. So even the pagans are trying to pray here. It says the sailors were afraid and they cried out to their own God. I think I just kind of want to make a point here too. You know, I've prayed with many non-believers. I've prayed with people from cults even. I've prayed with different folks. And I think sometimes people will often ask me because I'm the pastor. Well, Pastor, do you want to pray? Would you please pray for our wedding reception? Would you? I mean, you're the pray guy. You're the prayer guy. Come on. Why don't you pray? It would be right if you prayed. And you know what? I take that pretty serious, especially in situations where I'm with a non-believer. Or I'm with somebody that I know doesn't know God. I say, yeah, I will pray. You know why? Because I am going to pray to my God. And it's not the same God. It's not the same God. And I am not ashamed to say that. We are not praying to the same God. The God I believe in is Jesus, okay? He's God. Just like Elijah when the prophets of Baal and Elijah had the showdown. Remember that? And everybody came in and Elijah said, all you guys, all you prophets of Baal, you pray to your God. And I'll pray to mine, and we'll see who shows up. We'll see who shows up. But oftentimes, I think, especially in the world today, and I see it just going down this free, all of our God, can't we all just get along? We just have the same God. Let's all just pray to the same God. Oh, wait a minute. You're not praying to the same God. It breaks my heart. I don't want to be prideful. You got to understand. There's convicted civility here. I can talk to you about this. This is what I believe. This is what you believe. And if we're going to pray together, I'll do the praying because I'm going to pray to my God. I wouldn't shut anybody down. If you pray, someone else is praying. What I do is I'm praying to my God while they're praying their God. God, please help them see the one true God. Please help them see you. Help them see you clearly, Lord. Help them to pray to you one day. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we can get confused with that. I think lots of people are confused with that. Thing is, there really is one God. And not everybody's looking at him. Not everybody is. And there's this tremendous confusion. And it can even be more confusing when we go along with it. There's a time where I think we need to draw a line. But let's just get back. That's a little bit of a tangent. Let's just get back to praying. You pray to your gods and I'll pray to mine. Do you pray? Do you pray for your marriage? Do you pray for your children? Have you prayed for today? For goodness sakes, I beg you to pray for me. I'd love to have those prayers. We're in Provo, Utah, trying to do church and we need prayers. Oh my goodness. What makes us think that this church will grow and multiply and thrive if we're not crying out to God. If we're not crying out to God. You know, we might as well bag it and go home. Oh, I don't really believe this stuff. I'm not really going to pray to that God. Come on. We need to pray. I need to grow in prayer. And I understand, as a pastor of this church, I have a role to lead out in that. And I'm sure trying. And I pray God will help me to be more motivated to lead out in that. Because we need to be a church of praise. Alone. And corporately, we really do. We really, really, really do. Else, this thing's just going to tank. God needs to lead us. We need to pray to Him and ask Him. And we need Him to help our families. A couple of quotes. Well, we're going to go a little further. Prayer transfers trust. And let's think about Jonah a little bit. He's on this boat, and it's going crazy. The ship's hands, the ship's mates, they're praying. This guy's praying to that God. This guy's praying to this God. And there's this horrific storm. It's chaos. And Jonah, he goes and takes a nap. So he goes to sleep. Now, some might say that maybe God induced that sleep. Well, maybe so. But God also introduced the storm. God set things in place. What if Jonah, and I know I've done this before, recognize that everything is just going crazy and he has no control over it. He just, there's nothing, everything's going wrong. And he just throws up his hand. Maybe he's a little depressed. Maybe he just, you know what? I can't do anything about this. It's just everything going wrong. Everything. I'm running from God, for goodness sakes. Who am I? I'm running from God. It's my fault that we're all about to die. And so I think maybe he went down and just put a pillow over his head. I've done that before. There's days I don't want to get up. You guys ever do that? Yes, you have. Maybe this morning. Oh, it's so comfy in that beddy bye. But I think maybe our prophet of God, who experienced God in probably more intimate ways maybe than we ever will, and his faith was challenged, and I think he's stressed probably. That's my opinion, that he was just trying to hide out in his mind, just trying to sleep it off. Seems like every time I've tried to sleep it off, I get up and it's either grown, the problem's worse, it doesn't go away, does it? It doesn't go away. I have to turn and face it. But I like this verse that Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I shared this verse a bunch of times with a bunch of people this week. And God just has a way of teaching us things. You know, everything can look like it's falling apart. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, thank you, God, you're the answer. Thank you, God, you're gonna come through. Thank you, God, thank you, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. Present your requests to God. We need to be men and women, learn how to pray. You know, what happens oftentimes is when we're in that, what we think maybe is a hidden state, or running away from God, or hiding out, whatever your hiding out looks like, whether it's a pillow over your head or addictions of some sort or whatever, we're there until what? Until a trusted friend comes along, or our boss says, you know, you're going to get fired if you don't show up on time and start working hard. Someone or someone who knows the Lord comes and says, brother, sister, come on. You are not helping your family by being there with the pillow over your head. That doesn't help anybody. So we need to be men and women that turn and trust God. Let's move on to the next thing. Well, there's a couple of good quotes here. Prayerlessness is my declaration of independence from God. Daniel Henderson is a pastor. Pastors of church in Minnesota. We went to a conference a couple weeks ago at Jim Cimbala and Pastor Henderson. I like this. I read his book, one of his books. And prayerlessness is my declaration of independence from God. Ouch. Mine too. About Abe Lincoln, good old Abe. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It kind of sums it up. Ouch. Thanks for that, Abe. But we need it. I think we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. I need to be convicted. I need God to come and help me and convict me and remind 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 me. So here it is again, brothers and sisters. I love you. I'm reminding you. Pray. 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 How many times can we say, I don't know how else to say it, you know? I said a cherry bomb. Pray. I need to be reminded. I don't know. Help us with that, God, I pray. The third lesson we can learn from this book of Jonah, that one of the lessons that I pulled out is that we can confess. Let's look at Jonah 7 through 10. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them that. You know, this is a common practice of the day. People were somewhat superstitious to cast lots, to decide things, to figure out. You know, you can even look in the Old Testament. Every lot is cast is from the Lord. They did this, and just as they suspected, I imagine they were all together when they were casting lots, and I'm guessing, I don't know, but that people were looking right at Jonah while they were casting lots. I know this is the guy. I know he's the one. So I don't know if they had straws or what. One of them was short, so they passed whatever they did to cast these lots. And Jonah, sure enough, who got the short straw? Jonah. No surprise to him or them, most likely. But then they're freaking out. Like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We know you're running from God. You're running from God. God is, oh, we are in such trouble. But Jonah just told him, I love the Lord. I'm the reason this is going on. He turns and confesses. He just tells the truth, what's really going on. And you and I, we need to be men and women that don't run away, but we turn and face. Look at this point A. God is faithful. We need to turn. John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, God is who he says he is, and he wants repentance. He doesn't want us to lead this sinful life. He doesn't want us to turn from him. I just want to talk about confessing and how faithful God is and how we need to be men and women that turn and face things that we may have done or sin. We can't run away from God. We just have to remember, you can't run away. He's sovereign. Oh, my goodness. There could be a storm in that running. God will have his way. And we need to be men and women that fess up. Because we're so into blaming. At least I can. Oh, I blame the situation, or I blame those construction workers on the freeway. That's why it's so messed up. Or I blame this, or blame the reason I was speeding because I overslept and my alarm clock. I can't believe my alarm clock. It's made by Sony. I mean, my God, who, you know, and this and that. And there's always something to blame. Even the weather. You know, oh, it's because of the weather. Oh, I'm so busy. You know, last time I looked, there was 24 hours in the day. And that hasn't changed. Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. My life is so hectic. My goodness, we blame that, don't we? I sure do. Can't you see I'm busy, son? Can't you see I'm busy? I don't have time to pray with you, son. I've got a church to run. Last time I checked, there's 24 hours in the day. We need to be men and women who prioritize. It's not sneaking up on us. You know, we need to plan, get it. It's not, oh, there's only 24 hours today. Yesterday, you sure it was 24? I could go down that road, but I'm not going to. We need to be men and women in this whole idea of confessing that face consequences and stop running away from things. We try to run away from our problems sometimes, and they just get bigger, 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 bigger. Rather than turning and facing the consequences. Jonah replies here. Let's look at 11 and 12. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. So we see our character here actually, you know, my heart kind of goes out to him. He's facing the consequences. And we must be men and women that quit blaming everything and acknowledge we need help. God, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? I mean, it starts with God and the Ten Commandments. It starts there. God, I sinned. Repent from that. You know, you only have to ask for forgiveness once from God to save you. And then everything changes. But we need to be men and women that face consequence. You know, if you have an outstanding warrant or something on you, I don't know if anybody does here tonight, or if you're wanted by the law, you know, I recommend you turn and you turn yourself in. Turn yourself in. And start facing that issue and start dealing with it. Or maybe it's a past relationship. Your ex or whatever, you know, somebody that offended you, that when you think of them, you just go, ah, I hate them. And what we can do is we can blame them for all of our problems. Ah, and we become like them. That's what happens. It just gets bitter, and we like, if they hadn't done this 10 years ago, I'd be a rich man. You know what? That God doesn't want us to walk around with that bitterness. And if there is a problem, he wants us to address it. Call him up or whatever and just say, you know what? I just don't want to be bitter anymore. What I did was wrong. Would you please forgive me and get past that? And get past it. We need to be men and women that just face things. Face, you know, and what happens oftentimes for me, too, is even with my family, I'll get all worked up or something, then I'll have a little temper tantrum or say something that I shouldn't. Have you ever done that? Yes, you have. Probably this morning, and me too. It's just for some reason, like, oh, honey, let me get that off you. I'm so sorry. You're going to stink all day. And we need to be men and women just say, you know, I was wrong. Because the longer it goes on, oh, my goodness. It just starts to stink worse, doesn't it? It's just worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Sometimes I have to round up my kids and say, please forgive me. That was wrong. Probably the best lessons they've ever learned from me is with me just groveling. I'm sorry. I'm don't do what I did. I'm that guy. Please forgive me. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I was wrong. That ought to be easy for us to say. Learn how to say that. Learn how to say that, husband and wife. Learn how to say that. Please forgive me, I was wrong. Please forgive me, I was wrong. It's not that hard. It's like a soothing balm on that wound. to be men and women quick to step and stop blaming. If you weren't such an idiot! No, wait a minute. That's not going to help. That's not going to help. Please forgive me. I was wrong. I'd rather be righteous than right. And I'm learning that one. Woohoo! That's probably a lifelong journey for me. But hopefully we can grow in that. And I think we can learn from Jonah's example. You know, he says, you know, throw me into the lake. Throw me into the ocean. Just throw me in. And the fourth lesson I think we can learn from Jonah for sure is fearing God. Let's look at verses 13 through 16. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, oh Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Fearing God, or respecting God, or putting him at his rightful place, this holy, sovereign God who created everything, who spoke the universe into place, who breathes the very life into each and every one of us. Do you believe that or not? This God is real. He is very capable of catching you when you're running away. So why are we trying to hide? Here, this is just a remarkable section of Scripture. Honestly, we could do a year study. It's just something amazing happens here. First, the pagans try to row back to land. Isn't that what we always want to do? They say, because Jonah says, yeah, throw me into the ocean. This is all going to stop. They're like, oh, we don't want to kill you. We might get in trouble. We're just going to row back. We're going to row. We're going to do it on our own. We can do it. We can do it. We can't do it. And then the sea starts to break up. Remember, they had precious cargo. The only reason this ship took sail was to get cargo from point A to point B. So you know it's a horrific storm if they're throwing the cargo out. Abandoned ship, the mission's over. Get it out. Why? Because cargo makes the ship sit deeper into the sea. And you got to get it out so it pops up like a bobber and it's higher up so the water's not coming on. It's a horrific storm. And they throw out all the cargo. And look what happens. These pagan guys who didn't know God, who don't know God, God uses this whole situation for good. I see these guys turning to God. I see them placing their faith from their own rowing efforts to God. Right here in the Scripture, I think we see people step from death to life. God saves them. They prayed. Look at this at the end of it. They prayed to Jonah's God. They get it. They throw Jonah in. God calms the storm. And they go, oh, you are God. No more doubt. You are God. Oh, I get it finally. And so these sailors start turning. All of them, probably everybody on the ship starts worshiping Jonah's God, our God, the one and only true God. God orchestrated that whole thing. It's so beautiful, and it's beyond oftentimes what we can comprehend. Only God can do that. But he used that whole situation to turn these guys to himself. And they genuinely experienced God, and they turned to him. Oh, it's such a remarkable section of Scripture. God did it. Oh, Lord, you have done as you pleased. They just turned to him. They turned to him. I like this verse in Psalm 64:9, and I like this quote from the great theologian Bill Young. All means all, and that's all means. Psalm 64:9, all mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. All means all. That's all. And the Bible also says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus is Lord. It will happen just as sure as there's a 24-hour period in the day. All mankind at one point will know. Everybody in here, every one of you, every single person in here, you may not believe it now, you may not get it now, but you will. All mankind will fear. I believe this is God's word, and I believe it's true. Every single person will know. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is God. He is God. And we need to, that ought to change the way we live. How dare we think we can get away with sinning against the Holy God? It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ridiculous. We need him to help us because our flesh just cries out and pulls at us and rips at us and drags at us. But our God is bigger than all those temptations, than all of that. Do you believe it or not? He's a holy God of the universe. And all mankind, every breathing person on the planet, even if they're being born right at this second, every person ever born or whoever will be born will fear God. God will show himself. He's promised that. And we need to take that. We need to take that seriously. Here's another point B is act now before it's too late. Here again, it's just an incredible scene here with Jesus. You know, in the story of Jonah, these people turn to God in the presence of that storm and Jonah being thrown off, in the presence of Jesus himself. On earth, maybe one of the most profound conversions you'll read about is in Luke 23. Let's read these verses. Remember, Jesus is hanging on a cross. There's three crosses. We usually take that just kind of for granted. Oh, yeah, three crosses. Remember, people died on each one of those crosses. This is one of the criminals who hung there. This is the actual account of what happened. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, at Jesus. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. This man has done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Jesus hung on the cross as a sinless man. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Oh my goodness, just a short exchange with the King of the universe. Because they died right after that. All three of them. The criminals died, one knowing Jesus, one not. What was his fate? One not. One turning at the last moment, one not. One turning his head for eternity. You'll be with me in paradise. So one criminal made the right call, wouldn't you say? Because when he died, he's with God for eternity. That's forever. This life is just nothing compared to eternity. What the Bible describes as eternity away from God is just, oh my God, I don't even like to think about it. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's dark and horrible. It's horrible. for eternity. So if you're at a place where you could act now, today, before it's too late, you need to understand this is all true. It's all true. Just like the criminals on the cross and the picture drawn out for us, Christ on the cross, saving one and the other one, he could have made the choice, but he didn't. He chose eternity separated from God. And again, we talked about being guilty on those Ten Commandments. Each and every one of us in here, if we were to look closely at the Ten Commandments and we were to be judged by them, we would be found guilty. Hopefully that concerns you. Hopefully that concerns you. God loves you. God is holy, which means he's perfect. He's pure, righteous, and just. And there will be a judgment day. God promises us that. In Isaiah, see, man, we're very different than this holy, perfect God. And Isaiah 59 says that we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. You see, we turn, just like that guy that hung on the cross, we turn to our own way against this holy God. God knows that. We are not hidden. Ever since Adam and Eve in the garden tried to hide, no man has ever been able to hide from God. You just can't. God knows everything. He knows we're guilty. He understands that. And we need to understand that. God, please forgive me. I am guilty. Wait a minute. Yes. All will know. I'm guilty. We need to turn to God. And we need to confess. See, God loves us. Remember, that was part of that. God loves us. So he sent his one and only Son. It says that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent. He gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's a promise from God. God understood that we would sin, that we do sin, and he sees it. And his love and compassion and his mercy. It says in the Psalms, it says the mountains shake as he comes in to rescue us. That's when we celebrate Christmas. God came, the baby was born in the manger. That was the Savior of the world. That's Jesus, God in the flesh. God came to the planet. He came here. He walked around. He knew his purpose while he was here. He never sinned. He was God in the flesh. Jesus was God in the flesh. Performed many miracles. Turned water to wine. Raised people from the dead. Healed people. Fulfilled hundreds of prophecies. Jesus did. Jesus was God. And maybe the most amazing thing is, yes, he did die on the cross for us to take on the sins of the world. Lamb of God takes on the sins of the world. Jesus, sinless, the perfect sacrifice. He was enough. He was everything. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, took our sins on to himself. On himself. Because he loved us. It says in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He died for you. That's why he came here, specifically for that. And when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And he calls on us to believe that, to turn to him, to repent. This is one of those religious words. What does repent mean? How do I repent? Repent. That's what Jonah was supposed to go tell the people at Nineveh. And he eventually did. Repent, repent, repent. God's really ticked off. Repent, turn, repent, repent. And that's just a change of mind. And it's just that simple. Have a change of mind. Admit your guilt. Confess to God. God, please forgive me, for I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I have sinned against you, holy God. And it's a change of mind about who God is. Jesus, you are God. You are holy. You are perfect. You are all of this. And it's placing your faith in that. transfer of trust. Praying to him, transfer your trust. Yet to all who receive him, it says in John 1:12, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Are you a child of God? If you're not, I want you to be, and God wants you to be. All you have to do is transfer your trust from your own thinking, your own hiding, your own running away, your own criminal on the cross experience, and turning to Jesus. He's the one. He's the sinless one. He is God. He can forgive me. Do forgive me, God. Do. And in Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. God promises that. Just turn and believe in him. Put your trust in him. Believe him. Believe him. Pray to him. God, come into my life. You are God. Don't run away. Oh, my goodness. Run to him. His arms are open wide. He wants you to be with him in paradise. I'm just going to pray now, and you can pray with me. If you've never made a commitment to Christ, you never asked him into your life, it's really simple. You can just, you can pray with me now. You can just ask God to come into your heart. There's no perfect prayer. There's no calisthenic that you have to do. It's a transferring trust. Just like I said, change your mind, admit your guilt, ask God to come into your life and save you. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Believe that, and you'll be saved. So I'll just pray, and all of you that understand this and know this, you can pray that if there's anybody in here that doesn't know this, that God would get a hold of their hearts. And this changes us as believers too. Every time we talk about the gospel, there's power released. I believe that. Father God, I just pray to you with my little church family here, God. And we love you, God. I'm convinced, God, if I were to die today, I would be with you in paradise. And in many ways, I look forward to that, Lord. But you also said in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right now, we're living. We're here. There's much to do for you, Father God. So I just do. I pray for anybody in here that maybe doesn't understand, God. I remember at 37 years old, it was your timing for me to turn to you. I finally got it. I finally connected the dots. I finally went from knowledge and celebrating Christmas to my heart and placing my trust in you. I pray for anybody, God, in here. I remember praying a prayer something like this. God, I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? Come into my life, God. Forgive my sins. You are God. I need you. Please come and save me. Lord, it's just that simple, that kind of prayer. Father God, if anybody's in here who's never actually... maybe you're at a place where God's tugging on your heart. Let's just pray that together right now. It's simple. God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. I've sinned against you. Would you please come into my life and save me? God, only you can. Only you will. I pray you do that. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, it's good to pray. It's good to pray to the King of the universe, to the one God. Is it not? Amen. All right, let's move on here. One last verse to be continued next week. Jonah 1:17, the last verse in chapter 1. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Oh, boy, this story's just getting going. So come back next week. It'll be good. Now we're going to sing a couple more songs. Again, if you're at a place where God really tugged on your heart this morning and you're just trying to figure out, well, what just happened, please come and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you and try to help you understand what God might be doing in your life. So let's sing a couple more songs to him.
Why don't we stand up?